Hey patrons, it's David Chen. Thanks so much for being a supporter at patreon.com/DaveChen. I really appreciate it. In this bonus audio, I thought I'd talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which is out in theaters this week. And I thought I'd share some, you know, very brief thoughts on the movie and also talk a little bit about why I think this movie is doing so poorly with critics. This movie has a 51% Rotten Tomatoes, which is the second worst score for any MCU movie. The only one that scored lower is Eternals with 47%. Is this movie really that much worse than other MCU films? Before I answer that question, I will say no spoilers in this conversation, but I will talk about stuff that's in the trailers. So if you don't want to know anything about the movie, you should probably skip this audio and come back later. But no spoilers. I would never give away spoilers before you're allowed to actually see the film. But let's talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Let's start with a question. Is this movie really that bad? I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's like the second worst MCU movie ever. Of course, I also liked The Eternal, so take my opinion with a grain of salt. It's fine. You know, that's my thoughts on Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. It's fine. It's not awful, but it's not good. It's not great. There's a lot of reasons for this. You know, there's a lot of reasons why it's just fine. Let's talk about some of the stuff that it does well, okay? First of all, Paul Rudd, he's a very affable presence, and I think he's done a great job playing Scott Lang, Ant-Man, in these movies. And you get to see Scott Lang again in this movie. And if you like his kind of overall presence, I think you're going to have a decent time with Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. I will say overall, I think the cast is actually really solid for this movie. You got Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, obviously. And then also Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas play really prominent roles in the film. And Catherine Newton plays Scott Lang's daughter, who is Cassie Lang. She's also a significant role in the film. And of course, Jonathan Majors plays Kang, and you've seen him in the trailers. All those actors I just named are pretty great. You know, like, it's a great cast. And when they are allowed to bounce off each other and kind of interact and hang out and talk, the movie is pretty good. But they don't spend very much time doing that. So, but that's one thing that I really like about the movie is it has a great cast. Second thing I like about the movie is I love the kind of overall vibe they were going for. Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is a movie that takes place significantly. I don't believe this is a spoiler. It takes place significantly in the quantum realm, which we've seen glimpses of throughout the Ant-Man movies and the Avengers movies and so on. And the way they show the quantum realm, you know, it's been very polarizing online to see people's reactions to the quantum realm. Some people like it. Other people think it looks awful. I think mostly it looks pretty cool. It's like this weird, magical place with all this cool stuff. But, you know, in the past, you've only gotten glimpses of the quantum realm. Here, they really spend a lot of time in the quantum realm. And they have these really far-out visual ideas and character designs and, you know, designs for buildings and stuff like that. And I think it's overall pretty cool. It worked for me visually. Like, there's some things I didn't like about it visually, which I'll get into, but like overall, like the look of the world, I liked what they were going for. You know, this is reminds me of kind of movies I was watching growing up, like adventure movies, like, you know, Willow or whatever, where you'd go to like another world entirely, you know, The Neverending Story, or, you know, like a fantasy adventure movie. It really kind of evokes those stories. And maybe if I had seen this when I was a kid, I'd be like, this is amazing. I love this. You know, like, who knows? Who knows? So those are like a couple of the things I like, you know, like the casting. Jonathan Majors is a real standout. Michelle Pfeiffer. I mean, I really wish I could see Michelle Pfeiffer in movies that weren't Ant-Man movies. But if this is the price I need to pay to watch Michelle Pfeiffer in a big screen wide release, I'll pay it, you know? And I like the fantasy adventure vibes of the movie. Those are the things that I really appreciated about Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Why is this movie scoring so low? Like, what is it that people don't like about this film? I have a few ideas, and I'm going to share them, okay? First of all, I think the plot of this movie is kind of a disaster in the sense that it's really, really overstuffed. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Theoretically, this is the kickoff for Phase 5. It certainly doesn't feel that way, separate than the fact that they're introducing Jonathan Majors as Kang. Like, it doesn't feel like momentous in that way, in any way, right? It just feels like kind of another Ant-Man adventure, really. But the plot is really trying to do a lot here, you know, like you're trying to like introduce Jonathan Majors, you're trying to like introduce the Quantum Realm, you're trying to have these people like build their relationship. There's a whole other subplot that I'm not even going to talk about because it's not really in the trailers, but it is a significant part of the movie and it feels completely half-baked. Basically, you're introduced to all these like other characters that you barely see in the trailers, or if you see them very little in the trailers, and they play a significant part of the film, and it's like, you know, the movie needs to have an arc for those characters too, and it's just like, plus, you know, the movie's trying to set up, you know, the next several, you know, MCU movies and this new villain of Kang. We know that there's going to be a movie called Kang Dynasty coming in a couple of years, and so like, the movie is straining and buckling under the weight of all of these responsibilities, right? That it's trying to like do all this stuff. And ultimately to me, it feels like kind of a bit of a mess, kind of like it didn't really have the time and resources to accomplish everything it was trying to accomplish. Now, I believe they filmed part of this, at least during COVID, if not the entire thing. And so I have a lot of sympathy for anyone trying to make art in COVID. Like, they probably had other plans. Like, this movie was, I think, originally supposed to come out at a different time. And so a different order in the MCU. And so it's like, okay, well, they probably had to change up their plan a little bit. And then it's like, okay, well, it's not surprising that it doesn't feel like it really... has a satisfying position in the MCU right now. So I'm not saying it's like 100% the fault of the storytellers or anything like that, but I think they were dealing with really formidable challenges. But at the end of the day, it's trying to do so much that it doesn't really accomplish any of those things successfully. So that's like number one. And it's the biggest issue, I think, is like this plot feels really, really just like... They tried to fit too much into 2 hours, and I think that's a big problem. You know, it honestly feels to me like at this point, the Kevin Feige, the people running the MCU, like have kind of lost control of the train a little bit, in my opinion. I loved Spider-Man: No Way Home. That was my number two film of 2022, and I honestly really enjoyed all of the MCU movies that came out, you know, in that time period. Sorry, not 2022 film, 2021 film. I apologize. But yeah, like all the movies that came out before No Way Home, there was Shang-Chi, Black Widow, and The Eternals. I enjoyed all those movies. Like I defended all those movies. A fact, by the way, that has resulted in me getting made fun of on the internet quite a bit by YouTube commenters. But I liked all those movies. I thought they were all really solid. And so I'm not like, just like anti-Marvel or anything like that, even though that seems to be my reputation these days. I liked many MCU movies, like Avengers Endgame, obviously, like one of the biggest cinematic events of my life. I really, really loved it, you know? So there's a lot of things I love about the MCU. I have not liked any movies that have come out since No Way Home. So that includes specifically Multiverse of Madness. That includes Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. Haven't really loved these movies, right? And the movies that have comprised Phase 4, basically, you know, Thor: Love and Thunder, I thought was just god awful. I thought that was a terrible movie. So yeah, Thor: Love and Thunder, Multiverse of Madness, Wakanda Forever, like these have all felt like the worst of the Marvel movies. Marvel has had lulls before, right? Like Phase 2 I thought was pretty rough. Avengers: Age of Ultron, Iron Man 2, Thor: The Dark World, like those are all bad movies too. So it's not like Marvel hasn't had like low points, but it really does feel like we're in a low point right now. We're in this point where a lot of the movies feel like they're set up for other movies as opposed to really satisfying stories in and of themselves. The best of what Marvel can do are movies that feel real, like really well done, satisfying, self-contained stories that also happen to hint at other elements. Like that, in my opinion, is the best of what Marvel can do. And none of these movies really satisfy the first part. They don't satisfy the, hey, that was a great self-contained story that was really satisfying. Like, all these movies feel, many of these movies feel like they're, you know, part twos of three-part series, or part ones of three-part series, or part threes of three-part series. You know, like, they don't feel like they are satisfying storytelling in and of themselves. And I think Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania continues that trend for me. So, from a plot perspective, from an MCU perspective, like, I think that's one big reason why critics aren't really loving this movie, is because of the plot and the script that needs to explain that plot. You know, a lot of the script is exposition, and you know, a lot of it's really clunky and stuff just happening because the script says it has to. And why are things happening at this point in time? There's no real explanation. So, like, yeah, plot-wise and script-wise, Quantumania is kind of weak. Another thing I think that people are detecting, or people are getting tired of, in my opinion, is like the look of these movies. You know, I mentioned earlier how the look of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is very polarizing. And again, sympathy to anyone who's shooting on these, you know, shooting these movies, trying to make these movies during COVID. But a lot of it looks like it was shot on the volume. So if you don't know what the volume is, you should Google it. It's a really cool idea. But it's basically like these enormous LED screens. It's like the latest green screen technology, right? Where like people stand in front of these screens and they can physically see the background behind them. That, you know, whether they're standing in space or in an asteroid or in another universe or the quantum realm, they can actually see it and like react to what's going on. And what's great about it is theoretically it should help the actors because they have an actual thing in front of their eyes to react to. It helps the filmmaking because you can capture everything in camera. Or not every, you know, if not everything, then most things in camera. And so it's like, it really accelerates certain workflow timelines. It just is like an amazing tool that we've seen used in movies like The Batman, to great effect. The Mandalorian uses a lot of the volume, right? But used poorly, you know, the volume is a tool, and used poorly, the movies look like shit. I would say Thor: Love and Thunder looks like shit. I think it looks terrible because you can't just use the volume. You can't like slap actors in the volume and be like, okay, and it looks good now. You know, like there is like the Batman is a great example of using the volume well. Like all the scenes where you see Gotham in the background in Matt Reeves' The Batman, like a lot of those scenes are shot on the volume where there's no city behind them. It is a LED screen projection, and it looks freaking incredible. And it's because of the design of the city. It's because of the lighting. It's because of the composition. Like, work was done to make it look incredibly good. And what I worry about is seeing filmmakers use the volume when they don't have enough time, or they use it as a crutch. And then you end up with movies like Thor: Love and Thunder, and in my opinion, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, these movies that just look really bad. Like, they don't look convincing at all. It looks like we're looking at actors standing on a soundstage of some kind, basically, right? As opposed to in the quantum realm, which is where they're supposed to be. And you know, like in the olden days, if you were making like a Terry Gilliam movie, they would have built these elaborate sets and, you know, had matte paintings and green screen and, you know, or blue screen back then. And, you know, there would have been disadvantages with that approach too, but there would have been a more tactility to it in a way that you don't feel with a movie like Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Many of the shots in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania are just like a medium shot of like two to three actors standing in, you know, in their costumes. Sometimes the costumes are CGI too, and they're just saying lines to each other. And that's like I would say that's 80% of the shots in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, right? Like, there's no actual set there, or if there is, it's minimal, and then it's the volume. It's like a background. It's a fake background behind them. And it's just not exciting filmmaking, in my opinion, you know, with the volume when it's used too much or not used to good effect, as I think was the case here. And I think from what I can tell, with a lot of the reviews, like, that's another reason, is like the look of the movie. People don't like the look of the movie. The final thing I'll mention about why I think people are turning on this movie, and I will also link to like a Rotten Tomatoes article that compiles a lot of reviews so you can kind of see for yourself what people's reaction is to this film. But the final thing I'll say is I think that, you know, I talked earlier about how like the MCU is starting to go off the rails a little bit. And I think that a big part of that is that one of the things I loved about the MCU is that it was very welcoming to newcomers, while also if you like knew its lore, it would reward you, right? Like that's really great for a franchise, a great place for a franchise to be in. And I think that with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, it just kind of feels like a middle chapter in many ways of like a broader story, and kind of in the worst ways where it just feels like, okay, like nothing in this movie feels super consequential. I feel like I need to know way too much stuff for this movie to make much sense, or I feel like I'll need to remember this, even though I can't really remember much, in order for later things to make sense. And I think people just bristle at that because a lot of film critics like movies to be movies, self-contained. For most of our lives, that's what movies have been. You know, you go watch a self-contained movie, and like MCU is trying to bring the comic book style of storytelling to movies, and I think that many people think we are reaching the diminishing returns of that enterprise. Do I agree with that? I don't know, man. I mean, I think all it takes is a few great movies to turn the narrative around, right? I personally don't think Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is a great movie. Will you have fun if you check it out? Probably. You'll probably have some enjoyment out of it. But, you know, when I compare it to, like, the other MCU movies, like, it's definitely better than Thor: Love and Thunder, which I thought was just god-awful. It's probably on the same level as, you know, Multiverse of Madness, probably on the same level as Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, you know, which, again, to me, all feel like transitional stories that relied heavily on stuff that came before and that future things will rely heavily on. And so, yeah, is it going to be a good time? You know, I think you probably already know the answer to that question. I will say this, that the best thing you can do to prepare for this movie, in my opinion, is watch Loki and or specifically the Loki season one finale. That, I think, will really help you with this film and understanding like what's happening in this movie. So that's the number one thing I would recommend if you kind of like want to prepare for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. But that's the other thing I would say about like the movie is like, I think that we're really starting to see people tire of this kind of MCU style of storytelling. And that's another reason why I think critics are kind of turning on this one. So those are my overall thoughts on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I hope you enjoyed this recording, this Patreon exclusive content. And if you do go see the movie, I hope you have a great time. Oh, I will say this. I do think that it's a decent experience in IMAX. Like, it's not great. It's not like you must go see it in IMAX. But I think if you see it in IMAX, you know, insofar as you enjoy these visuals, which are very polarizing, I think you'll have a good time. So there is some cool IMAX stuff, but certainly a better IMAX experience than Thor: Love and Thunder. But it's not a Christopher Nolan movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you're going to see something that you have to see in IMAX or anything like that. But anyway, I hope if you do go see it, you have a good time. I think, you know, if you've read some of the reviews and you know what you're going into, you'll probably have a great time. Oh, and I'll say one last thing, which is loved the post-credit scenes in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I thought they were, like, really pretty solid. Most post-credit scenes are not good. And there were two post-credit scenes that I was like, oh, those are, like, not bad. There's some cool stuff in those. So, anyway, bunch of random thoughts on the movie. Again, I want to say thank you so much for being a supporter of my work at patreon.com/DaveChen. Subscribe to my free newsletter, Decoding Everything, if you have a chance. I really appreciate what you're doing here to help my work out, and it's helping put a lot of time and resources into both my newsletter, Decoding Everything, and also Decoding TV, which I am slowly building up brick by brick. Thank you so much for your support. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.